Buzz Lightyear to Star Command. Come in, Star Command. Star Command, come in. Do you read me? Why don't they answer?
My ship!
Blast. This'll take weeks to repair.
Buzz Lightyear mission log, stardate 4072. My ship has run off course en route to Sector 12. I've crash-landed on a strange planet. The impact must have awoken me from hypersleep. Terrain seems a bit unstable. No readout yet if the air is breathable. And there seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
Hello?
Oh, yeah! Ah! Whoa! Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Did I frighten you? Didn't mean to. Sorry, howdy. My name is Woody, and this is Andy's room. That's all I wanted to say. And also, there has been a bit of a mix-up. This is my spot, see? The bed here.
Local law enforcement. It's about time you got here. I'm Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger, Universe Protection Unit. My ship has crash-landed here by mistake.
Yes, it is a mistake, because you see, the bed here is my spot.
I need to repair my turbo boosters. Do people still use fossil fuels, or have you discovered crystallic fusion?
Well, let's see. We got...
Does he realize that I'm not there? I'm lost. Oh, I'm a lost toy.
Buzz Lightyear mission log. The local sheriff and I seem to be at a huge refueling station of some sort.
You!
According to my Nava computer, the...
Shut up! Just shut up, you idiot!
Sheriff, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic! I'm lost, Andy is gone, they're gonna move from their house in 2 days and it's all your fault!
My fault? If you hadn't pushed me out of the window in the first place...
Oh, yeah, well, if you hadn't shown up your stupid little cardboard spaceship and taken away everything that was important to me...
Don't talk to me about importance. Because of you, the security of this entire universe is in jeopardy.
What? What are you talking about?
Right now, poised at the edge of the galaxy, Emperor Zurg has been secretly building a weapon with the destructive capacity to annihilate an entire planet.
I alone have information that reveals this weapon's only weakness.
And you, my friend, are responsible for delaying my rendezvous with Star Command.
You are a toy! You weren't the real Buzz Lightyear. You're an action figure. You are a child's plaything.
You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity. Farewell.
Oh, yeah? Well, good riddance, you loony. Rendezvous with Star Command.
Right where you left him.
Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. I'm your host Matthew, and today we're here to celebrate something very, very special indeed. As of November 22nd, 2025 or 22nd of November 2025. Here today to celebrate 30 years of Toy Story. 30 years since the original film's release in, of course, 22nd of November 1995. And here to talk about it, we'll talk about all the different moments, how this film, this franchise, and these characters have impacted me in my life. It's certainly something very, very important to me, to say the least, which even saying that is a massive understatement. Go through some information on the film and just have a relaxed conversation about this film, talk about Toy Story itself, but I do want to focus more so on the first film than talking about, you know, the sequels and that sort of thing. We'll talk a little bit, I think, about Toy Story 5 here as well. There was the teaser trailer. Not too much to glean from that, but some interesting little notes in Toy Story 1 that, even though obviously a fifth one wasn't planned in 1995, there's some interesting kind of like the fear that these toys have and, you know, how they perceive other toys and things like that, and how that can tie into what's going on in Toy Story 5, which makes it quite a great idea. But let's rewind things back a little bit. 22nd of November, 1995, Toy Story gets released. Where do I want to start? There's a lot of different things I want to talk about. So as of a couple of hours ago, I just sat down and watched the film again. And wow, I mean, first of all, holds up incredibly well, incredibly, incredibly well for something that's 30 years old. And it's a quick, clean 80 minutes, incredibly well written. Animation obviously looks obviously different to how things look now. Things obviously have like a glow and a shine to them, and obviously things were different back in 95, but There really is, in a lot of different ways, and I really do mean a lot of different ways. And I've watched the film within that last couple of years. I think they had the Disney 100th anniversary. I think it was last year or the year before. Can't remember if it was 2023 or 24. I think it was last year. And a few Disney films got re-released, or Disney Pixar films, and one of them was Toy Story. And I remember seeing it on the big screen again. Or maybe seeing it on the big screen for the first time, actually, a couple of years ago when they re-released this for Disney's 100th anniversary. And in a lot of different ways, there's kind of... Now, I know I've spoken about this on certain films on my Classic Reviews series, and different old films do this in different ways, but even though certain old films, and films that are older than this as well, you know, films from the 70s and 80s, have a certain... they have an old look to them. Obviously, they do look different, certain films. And this film, of course, looks different as well. But there's a certain charm to how things look. And right from the opening all the way through to, obviously, the end credits, there is that particular charm there with that. And it's also got this... I feel like Toy Story 1... is, it's not the only one that has that, because you can put any Toy Story film on for me and I'll have, you know, pretty much similar sort of warm reactions. But obviously the first one's always special, right, as they say. Your first entry in a series is always arguably the most special, because it's like your first attempt, is a new attempt at an IP and all those sorts of things. And obviously there's kind of... it's like an originality to this film in a way of not just how it looks, but kind of how it comes across, how it portrays itself, and just in a general way of how it is. And there's something... it's a very specific feeling I get from not just watching Toy Story films, but particularly from this first one. And, you know, again, you put any Toy Story film on and I'll feel, you know, a nice sense of warmth and a nice sort of just... It's like something you want to... I don't know how this sounds, but something you just want to cuddle. Something that's just safe and warm and just... it's like a really kind of just pleasant nature to just... this thing that... not just this thing that you're familiar with. Obviously, I'm familiar with them because I've watched them all a bunch of times. And it's not just I know we can all be kind of blinded a little bit by nostalgia in a certain way of like, oh, this thing from 20, 30 years ago that I really, really loved, it's back and it gives me good old memories. I think there's a difference between, and at least for me, I think I'm speaking more personally on this, maybe some of you can relate. There's things that you look back on, you go, oh, cool, that thing from 20, 30 years ago, something comes back, or obviously we're in a bit of a nostalgic era of things right now. But there's a certain just, it's like a different type of nostalgia that Toy Story 1 gives me, and it does just make me think of my, like, first ever years on this earth, I suppose, because, like, I'm nostalgic for, like, a bunch of stuff, and even for things that came out 5-10 years ago, and there's, like, a, you know, familiar feeling with certain stuff like that, but I think there is a difference between something that's cool and nostalgic and something that you love, and then there's something that's just, I can't think of this in any other way, something that's just got a warmth to it and something that you just feel safe with, something that you just kind of, there's something really deep in your soul when you watch something, at least for me anyway, when I watch something like this, and particularly when I was watching even just the first couple of minutes, you know, Andy doing the set piece thing with his toys and all that, and Woody comes along, saves the day. And there's just this, yeah, nice, warm, safe, relaxing kind of feeling. And, like, it's interesting because I was doing a couple of things today. I was like, right, around about this time of day, I'm going to put the film on. You know, it'll finish by this point. Then I'll do this and that, whatever. Then I'll do the podcast. So I had the plan already to do it. And admittedly, I was feeling, I don't know what it was, I was feeling, like, you know, tiny bit groggy, tiny bit sort of like tired. And I was like, oh, should I wait until, not that I have that much time left because it's 1 week until the anniversary as of right now. But I was like, oh, should I put it on a different day? Should I put it on when I feel better? Do I want to watch Toy Story like in this? And I wasn't feeling ill or anything. I was just kind of a bit, just feeling a bit, And then, thought, like, okay, if I put this film on that's really special to me and it doesn't feel right and something feels wrong and it's, you know, there's a lot of kind of, I don't know, the overthinking probably came in at that point. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to press play. Just going to press play. Put it on Disney Plus. And within the first minute or so, basically all of that was gone. I'm smiling, grinning from ear to ear. I'm just back in that place, and it's just, it's Toy Story, it's Buzz and Woody, it's, you know, Rex and Ham and Slinky and Bo Peep and all these characters, and it's Andy's room, and just this warm familiarity that this film gives me. And I was just, I was right back in there, spending time with these characters that I really love, watching obviously the build up to, I guess from the first act or whatever that you'd say, you know, Andy opening his presents, or what's it going to be, the toys kind of freaking out, then Buzz Lightyear pops up. And I was just right back there. My I don't know if my tiredness was had gone, but it wasn't on my mind anymore. Like, I wasn't feeling tired anymore. I was just sitting there smiling, starting to get, you know, teared up because I love this film so much. And then it just took itself from there. I was smiling, laughing, crying, just a really warm, joyful experience. And I'm very, very grateful to have something like that in my life, and I've had it for 30 years. It's actually strange because, again, Toy Story is my earliest memories, because, I mean, I have something that's, like, right next to it for childhood kind of nostalgia or childhood early memories is probably Crash Bandicoot, but I didn't start playing, you know, video games until, obviously, a couple of years after that. But it's funny because, okay, if this was November 1995 and I was born April 94, there was actually about only 18 months, roughly, I think that's 18 months, of my life where Toy Story, whether there was, you know, trailers going around and, okay, it existed because it was probably, you know, in production or whatever. But obviously I wasn't, you know, paying attention to trailers and stuff when I was, you know, newborn. And then, yeah, 18 months after I'm born, this thing comes along and just warmly stays in my life for the rest of my life. And I guess technically, you know, let's say Toy Story 5 is the last one. For I don't think it will be. But if it is, this thing will still be in my life. And see, the eight, I know I kind of mentioned it just for time's sake, but the 18-month thing I just mentioned is almost irrelevant because, yeah, Toy Story has basically just been there my entire life. It's the one thing that kind of, I guess, you know, from entertainment properties and stuff, is the thing that has. Because, again, Crash Bandicoot, early memories and stuff, but that was a few, you know, chunk of years later, I suppose. And that was like a bit of a different story. But yeah, it's this franchise, these characters, this film, all four of these films, and Lightyear as well. I do include that, of course. Just holds a really, really, really special place to me. And, you know, I can sit here and name a bunch of things too that are very special to me, obviously. Things like The Last of Us, Crash Bandicoot, Spider-Man's very nostalgic and comforting and all that sort of thing. Batman on the DC side, I suppose. Those are like my, those have been kind of like my core things for a while. Obviously Last of Us was much later, but yeah, pretty much, you know, well, Pixar films themselves still, you know, like Incredibles, Monsters Inc, those are sort of some earlier childhood films as well. And those are the three that kind of stick out to me. But yeah, those things, Crash Bandicoot, Batman, Spider-Man, Last of Us. But, you know, as much as I love all of those things, and I do love all those things to different degrees, it just, at the end of the day, and this isn't just because, oh, childhood nostalgia, I've, you know, tried to explain here how kind of, okay, I have childhood nostalgia for a lot of stuff, but this is just always going to be at the top of that list. And even outside of childhood nostalgia and how all those things are really nice old memories and that, I cannot see anything for probably the rest of my life topping Toy Story. I think that would just be, I don't think that would be possible. I mean, in terms of like entertainment properties, the top three in, apart from Toy Story at the top, Crash Bandicoot and Last of Us are probably the next two. I mean, Incredibles I love as well, Monsters Inc I love as well. But it's probably those three. But just, you asked me to pick anything over Toy Story. Excuse me, you asked me to pick anything over Toy Story, and it's just going to be Toy Story every single time. It's going to win, it's going to beat anything and everything. And, you know, I think I put like a post out the other day, not a podcast, just like a post the other day, and they put out the teaser of Toy Story 5. And see, what you got to understand with me and Toy Story is I just love spending time with these characters, whether it's Buzz and Woody, obviously themselves, the sort of main two, and then all the other characters. But if you were to just say, you know, let's say I didn't know anything about Toy Story 5, and you went, right, Matt, there's a new Toy Story coming out. It's going to have, you know, your favorite characters. It's not a reboot or a remake or something like that. It's going to have your favorite characters in it, and it's coming out on this day. First of all, I'd fully trust Pixar to do anything that they want, but it's just, I'm not bothered about, like, what these characters get up to, what they do in the film, as long as, obviously, the thing itself makes sense. I'm not talking about, you know, giving me something that doesn't work or is bad. That's not what I'm talking about. But, so, yeah, as long as the thing that you're doing makes sense, I don't care, like, what the plot is, what these characters get up to, or anything like that, like the premise or the plot of the film. As long as it's, you know, makes sense and it's good, at the end of the day, it's just, to me, it's not about what are these characters going to do next. It, to me, is about just spending time with these characters. I said on a podcast a long time ago, I would watch probably, let's say, an hour a week for the rest of my life of, let's say you have, whether it's Bonnie or Andy's room, it doesn't really make a difference. You have Buzz and Woody sitting on a shelf. Let's say the toys below them are all playing and whatnot. and the two of them are just sitting on a shelf just having a conversation. I wouldn't care what the conversation's about. I wouldn't care where the conversation goes. Again, as long as it, you know, makes sense and all that. Because it would just be me spending more time with these characters. That really is how much they mean to me. It's not a case of, oh, I don't think this idea will work or whatever. Great, I do think the idea for Toy Story 5 sounds like it makes a lot of sense. And just tying back to that for a second, because I know that I've brought that up. It's interesting when, and obviously again, the idea wasn't thought of in 95, because neither Pixar nor Disney knew where this was going to go, did they? Nor did anybody else, really. And they're sitting there and, like, they're having Andy's birthday. It's pretty much the opening of the film after the initial, like, cold open, I guess you could say. And their fear is, okay, what if there's a toy that's better than them, that's cooler than them? Or you've got, like, Rex, for example, saying, like, what if he gets another dinosaur? What if that dinosaur is, you know, more interesting than what he is? They're worried about being replaced. And it's interesting that, because I noticed a little nugget in there of, you know, the way that they fear that and the way that they're being like, oh, what about if, you know, Andy gets something and he just doesn't need some of the rest of us, for example. And of course, Woody's really, really worried about this because he's the main toy. He's the main one, right? And of course, Buzz Lightyear comes along and there's, I'll get onto that in a minute. But it's interesting, you fast forward 30 years and of course, you know, tablets and phones and gaming consoles and, you know, screens are, can be, if not regulated properly, can be addictive, especially to young eyes, and you know, you've got colours and sounds and all that sort of thing. And you are going to introduce a tablet in Toy Story 5. And there's, interestingly, this like concept art for Toy Story 5, isn't there, where I think it's just like a silhouette of a person or of a child under the covers with their tablet, and they're like obviously kind of glued to the screen, and I think the film's going to look at, you know, maybe addiction to that kind of stuff, which can happen. And then the toys are kind of like checking in on the kid from the outside of being like, well, what about us? Because they fear being replaced. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how that kind of plays out in Toy Story 5, because apart from the rest of them, because the rest of the characters in this film don't really fear Buzz. They see him as just like this really cool new toy, which Buzz Lightyear is a very cool toy, obviously. But yeah, feeds very interestingly into just, okay, he kind of sort of replaces Woody, but then not really. But then Andy's torn on that, and you get the whole jealousy thing coming in from Woody, and a bit, there's like a bit of a sibling rivalry kind of theme in there, which is interesting as well. Of course, they finish the film becoming friends, which is the whole important thing of the film, which is really, really nice. But yeah, it's an interesting angle to take, and going from that obviously through 2, 3, and 4 to tablets and screens and stuff, and of course what modern day is like. I mean, yeah, people still buy toys now and buy figures and stuff like now, but where do toys fit in the realm of, you know, when you have a kid and they're going to pick something that's going to occupy their time? Are they going to pick, you know, a Woody or a Buzz Lightyear? Are they going to pick toys from a toy store? Or are they going to play their 15 different games that they've got on, you know, a tablet? It's an interesting, like, that's a genuine interesting, like, reflection on the 30 years of Toy Story as well. And how, like, things have changed a little bit and stuff like that. So, yeah. Yeah, let's, I guess, pin that stuff for now. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and let's talk about some big moments from this film as well. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, back with the second half of the podcast. You got some... It's very interesting with the pacing of this film. Quick, clean, 80 minutes. Obviously, it was Pixar's first, feature film, all that sort of stuff. And how you can, again, with your first feature film, do a film that it's not highlight reels. It's not kind of you jump from big moment to big moment to big moment. There's moments in between, there's breathing room, and there's that, all that kind of stuff. And the way that you manage to fit everything into this film, it doesn't feel cramped, it doesn't feel too slow, it doesn't feel too fast either. You kind of go from like one big set piece, then some dialogue, then some build up and stuff, then another kind of big moment. And there's probably, I mean, I could sit here all day and name all the big moments from this film, and I don't even know if I would end up picking them all, because there's just so many. I mean, in no particular order, obviously, you've got things like To Infinity and Beyond at the end, you've got You Are a Toy, you've got the I Can Fly thing in the bedroom, you've got the introduction of Buzz Lightyear and the whole visor look kind of thing, you've got Buzz and Woody's first conversation, you've got the whole, obviously, plotline of Buzz thinking he's a space ranger, which is really, really interesting. Just to comment on that for a second, I just want to drop this little bit in here, because I noticed something, the same thing for the second time, I suppose, because I watched this film, I think 2 or 3 times since Lightyear came out in 22, I think it was. The version of what Buzz Lightyear thinks he is what Lightyear is supposed to be in Lightyear. And again, weird the way that people kind of got confused as to what Lightyear was. It was like, okay, this is the guy the toy is based on. And you can vary, if you go from probably one film to the other, so whether you go from Toy Story 1 to Lightyear or Lightyear to Toy Story 1, it's really obviously noticeable, and there's a lot of like Easter eggs and nods and versions of similar scenes, like the ground being unstable kind of thing, the Star Command thing with the communicator on his wrist. There's a lot of stuff in there, and it was just, it was interesting to see that reflected, I guess, backwards in this film with, yeah, Buzz thinks he's, I don't know if he specifically thinks he's human, I guess he thinks he does, because he's trying to, like, communicate with Star Command, and he doesn't think he's a toy, so I guess he must think he's human in a certain way. Yeah, it was just interesting reflecting on that, watching this film as well. Even from like one of his first moments, the ground being unstable, trying to fix his spaceship, like that same thing happens in Lightyear as well. I guess the whole thing about, him thinking he can fly and gliding out the window, and of course he can't fly, he can glide, you know, falling with style, gliding with style. That's fantastic as well. What else do you have in this film? Obviously the whole thing with Sid. All that kind of thing, which some people speculated that he's the bin man in Toy Story 3, I think it is, when the black bags are being moved around and that. So you got that going on. Something I weirdly didn't remember, I guess, because I was like, you know, played the first minute or so again, I was kind of, you know, adjusting myself to watching the film. And I was like, Jesse isn't even in this film. Like, you think of how big of a character Jesse is in this film. Because she, of course, doesn't get introduced until Toy Story 2. Even the main four, I guess you could say, Buzz, Woody, Jesse, Bo Peep, I think they only interact in two of the films, which is 2 and 4, if I'm not mistaken, because she was not in 3, if I remember. There was the light lamp, lamp life, whatever it was called, short that kind of explained that, which I thought was great as well. But yeah, even with everything that this film has to offer, which again is mainly about, you know, Buzz and Woody's relationship and how all that goes and the journey that they go on, the Pizza Planet stuff and Sid's house and the sort of family-friendly horror stuff there, which was cool. Again, you've got character Bullseye as well. Bullseye's a huge, huge character. Obviously, Stinky Pete is as well, but, you know, he's not part of the main sort of group. Because you've got kind of the four of them, haven't you? You've got, was it Stinky Pete, Jesse, Bullseye, and obviously Woody's supposed to be part of Woody's Roundup as well. None of them are even in this film. This film still holds up, you know, without them, I suppose. I did miss not seeing Jesse in this film and not seeing Bullseye, but obviously you've got kind of like the original main group in here, so those are fantastic as well. I even still, yeah, it's interesting the kind of, I guess, group of four in a way of Mr. Potato Head, Rex, Slinky, and Ham as well. They make up like a great little group within themselves almost. Makes like a really, really great group dynamic at different points. Of course, they all think that Woody's like this villain throughout the film, which is an interesting kind of plot line. So that's great as well. You've got obviously Buzz being knocked out the window. So that was really, really great. What other moments do you have in this film? Obviously the opening with You've Got a Friend in Me and Andy playing with Woody, flinging him around the room and stuff. Something I always kind of found interesting about Andy is like, okay, obviously leaves in the third one, could maybe come back in the fifth one, we'll have to wait and see. It isn't in the fourth film, apart from the cold open, I think he's in, because they do the You've Got a Friend in Me opening, I believe. I think I've talked about this on a podcast before. Andy doesn't actually have that much screen time in these films, and it's interesting when people get kind of hung up about, okay, it should have ended after 3 because Andy left. First of all, it is called Toy Story, and obviously the majority of scenes are Buzz, Woody, and or other characters. That's basically what most of the scenes are. So yeah, and I'm at 3, he's not, he sort of is in like certain parts of each of these films, like where he's kind of needed, I suppose, which is interesting as well. So let's go on to reading a bit of information about this film, just in case there's some things we can pick up on here, and just to go through Toy Story 1's history a little bit. So Toy Story 5 is a 1995 American animated adventure comedy film produced by Pixar for Walt Disney. It is the first installment in the Toy Story franchise and the first entirely computer animated feature film, as well as the first feature film from Pixar, marking the start of their 30 years. The film was directed by John Lasseter, written by Joss Whedon, Andrew Stanton, who I believe Andrew Stanton is either the writing or directing or both for Toy Story 5. I think so. Joel Cohen and Alec Sokolow, based on a story by Lasseter, Stanton, Pete, and Joe, produced by Bonnie Ralph, and features voices of Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Annie Potts, John Ratzenberger, Don Rickles, Wallace Shawn, and Jim Varney. Taking place in a world where toys come to life when humans are not present, Toy Story follows an old-fashioned pull-string cowboy doll named Woody and a modern space cadet action figure Buzz Lightyear. As Woody develops jealousy towards Buzz when he becomes their owner Andy's favourite toy, Following the success of the 1988 short film Tin Toy, I think I've seen that. I'm pretty sure. I think I've seen every Pixar short, although I may go back and just give that another watch at some point, but I'm pretty sure I've seen all of them. Anyway, following the success of the 1988 short film Tin Toy, Pixar was approached by Disney to produce a computer animated feature film that was told from a small toys perspective. Lasseter, Stanton and Doctor wrote early story treatments were rejected by Disney, who wanted the film's tone to be edgier. After several disastrous story reels, production halted and the script was rewritten to better reflect the tone and theme Pixar desired. Good. It says, quote here, toys deeply want children to play with them, and the desire is this desire drives their hopes, fears and actions. End quote with that. The studio, then consisting of a relatively small number of employees, produced Toy Story under minor financial constraints. Does it say what the budget here was? Budget is $30 million, and they made a box office of $400 million. So, yeah, good stuff. Let me just carry on reading a couple of other bits here. A Toy Story premiered at the El Capitan Theater in Los Angeles. On November 19th, 1995, and was released in theatres in North America on November 22nd of that year. So I count it as November 22nd. That was when it got, you know, publicly released. It was the highest grossing film during its opening weekend, eventually grossing over $363 million worldwide, making it the second highest grossing film of 1995. The film received critical acclaim, with praise directed towards the technical innovation of animation, script, Randy Newman's score, of course, Got a Friend in Me, appealed to all age groups, and voice performances, particularly Hanks and Alan, and holds a 100% approval rating on film aggregation website Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's still got there. Not that that would really change today anyway. The film is frequently lauded as one of the best animated films ever made, and due to its status as the first computer animated film, one of the most important films in the medium's history and film at large. The film received 3 Academy Award nominations: Best Original Screenplay, the first animated film to be nominated for the award, Best Original Song for You've Got a Friend in Me, and Best Original Score, in addition to being honored with a non-competitive Special Achievement Academy Award. Just one more bit here. In 2005, Toy Story was selected for preservation in the United States Film Registry by Library of Congress as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. Those are some big words. One of 9 films designated in its first year of eligibility, the success of Toy Story launched a multimedia franchise, spawning 4 sequels, technically 3. Oh, it says Lightyear. Spawning 4 sequels. Well, yeah, there will be 4, because the first one's not a sequel. There's currently 3 sequels. Anyway, spawning 4 sequels, beginning with Toy Story 2 in 1999, a spin-off film Lightyear in 2022, and numerous short films, all of which I've also seen. The film has had several theatrical re-releases, including a 3D re-release in 2009. I wish I could have seen that. I wasn't aware of that. As part of a double feature with the second film, and a 30th anniversary re-release in 2025, which we didn't get in this country, by the way. Or, we might have done, but I didn't see any listings for the 30th anniversary for theatres, because I would have obviously gone to that. So, there you go. Yeah, it's got the plot. There's a lot there. I'm not going to read out all the plot. Let's just go quickly a little bit through the cast list. Not every single one, but just it's got descriptions and things as well. That could be fun. Tom Hanks as Woody, a pull-string cowboy doll who is Andy's favourite toy. Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear, a Space Ranger action figure, Andy's second favourite toy and Woody's rival, who later becomes his best friend. Don Rickles as Mr. Potato Head, a cynical potato-shaped doll with put together pieces on his body. Jim Varney as Slinky Dog, a Dachshund, Dachshund Slinky toy. Of course, it's got the string bit, so yeah, or the coil bits rather, not string. Toy and Woody's second in command. Wallace Shawn as Rex, a nervous green Tyrannosaurus figurine. John Ratzenberg as Ham, a smart talking piggy bank. Annie Potts as Bo Peep, a porcelain sheep headress. I've never seen that word in my life before. Doll and Woody's love interest. She's got her sheep that she maintains, of course. John Morris as Andy Davis, the toy's owners. Eric Von Detten as Sid Phillips, Andy's next door neighbor and bully who destroys toys for fun. Laurie Metcalf as Miss Davis, Andy and Molly's mother. R. Lee Emery as Sergeant, leader of a large troop of plastic green army men. Sarah Freeman as Hannah Phillips, Sid's friendly younger sister. Then it's got Penn Jillette as the Buzz Lightyear TV commercial announcer. I love that advert. That's pretty fun. Jeff Pigeon as Aliens, Crane, Toys at Pizza Planet. And then lastly, we've got Mickey McGrown as Miss Phillips, the unseen mother of Sid and Hannah. Yeah, she's not on screen, is she? She just sort of shouts out to the kids. So, there we go. What else did I want to talk about? I talked about my personal stuff with this, talked about some big moments. I mean, I could talk all day about, you know, everything that happens in this film. There could be no end to that at a certain point. But yeah, I'm really, really, really excited to see Toy Story 5. Again, not specifically to see the whole lily pad thing, just to, again, spend time with these characters, to see still what happens to the lily pad thing, the iPad thing, and how that works exactly. There's also supposed to be like the rogue Buzz Lightyears, isn't there, which will be an interesting, I guess, callback to Toy Story 2. I'm looking forward to seeing when Buzz and Woody unite. That's gonna break me. So to anybody who happens to be in the same screening as me, you might see a broken person when that happens. That's gonna be really great to see. Even if that's just a small interaction, that's just the history there and everything between these two characters. Yeah, this film's phenomenal. It's like, I don't know, for such a historic early animated film, you know, not every film is going to do this, and I don't know, it's just so, so special, and has so many cool moments, so many iconic scenes that get referenced, such a massive cultural impact, such a massive impact on my life. Two characters of which I've got on tattooed on my arm. Okay, some of you don't know, I do have Buzz and Woody tattooed on my arm. So yeah, again, if 5 ends up being the last one, which again I don't think it will be, and even if I for some reason end up going years without seeing one of these films, even though they'll always be in my memories, they're on my arm as well. So yeah, they'll always pretty much be with me, these, at least the main two characters. I mean, I wish I could get the whole lot of them, you know, tattooed on me, but not quite enough space for that. Although I do want to get Jesse and Bo Peep on the other side of my arm, but more on that at another point. But yeah, I'm very grateful for these characters in this film, and just the warm presence it's had in my life. It's, I can't understate, I guess, how important this thing is to me. And yeah, 30 years. They grow up fast, don't they? I suppose. Yeah, I think that's about it. I didn't come on here intending to, you know, review the film per se. I did talk about a bunch of it and its history and my importance to it. I've still got, you know, my own Buzz, Woody and everybody else, dolls, toys, whatever you want to call them, still sitting on my shelf. I don't play with them or anything like that. It's kind of to a point where I'm like afraid to touch them at one point, because okay, what about if I've had this, like, you know, obviously fear of breaking them or something. But no, I look at them pretty much every day. And again, whether that's 30 years, 25 years, 20 years, those are the oldest things I own, and they're very precious to me. Which ones have I got? I got like the main pull string Woody, Jesse. I've got like the obviously thing of Buzz Lightyear. That's not a pull string version, but got that. Got like two little versions of Bo Peep. I've got the RC car. I don't know if it's a remote control version. I haven't, again, looked at it for years, but got that. I've got like versions of like Ham and Rex and Slinky. I've got the proper string version of Slinky. I've even got some stuff on this desk. I have, like, behind this laptop, the Disney Infinity versions of Buzz, Woody, and Jessie. So they're kind of like just over the top of my laptop screen here. I can, you know, look at them when I'm glance at them when I'm recording. I've got like plushy versions of, I think it's just Buzz and Bullseye on the other side from me here. And yeah, there's yeah, they're pretty much everywhere. So there we go. Anyway, big happy 30th anniversary or birthday, whatever we're gonna call it, to Toy Story. Really looking forward to 5 next year. Obviously that whole thing coming up and trailers and analysing that and everything. It's gonna be really fun. June 19th, 2026. Same day as Last of Us in 2020. That's an interesting, two things I really, really love came out, are going to come out at the same time. Although I think 4 was like June something, wasn't it, of 2026. Sorry, not 2026, 2019. So yeah. Anyway, share your fond memories to me of Toy Story. I assume you've seen all 4 films, probably more than once. What place do they hold with you in your life? How long have you loved them for? Maybe you're older than 1995. Maybe you're younger than that. Let me know, like, yeah, your story with Toy Story. How do you connect to these characters? Do you have, like, nostalgic memories of them yourselves? It depends, obviously, how old you are and all that sort of thing. Yeah, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on all things Toy Story. And are you looking forward to number 5? What do you think of that? And we'll see how it all goes. Anyway, that's it. Thank you all very, very much for listening. Of course, if you do want to write in, I should probably tell you how you can do that. Matthew@entertainmenttalk.org. Social media is either eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk. And there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, my United podcasts. So look out for everything that we do. We're doing the United cast when that comes back. Gaming Talk, Breaking Bad, we're heading near to the end of course, end of the year stuff coming up. We'll have a few things for that. As well as, you know, reviews of stuff late into the year and all those kinds of things. So keep your eyes and ears peeled, entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, my United podcasts. If you want to support the episodes that we do, you can listen to more of them by listening to them on the places I've just mentioned. Word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions a thing we podcast on, please tell them about said podcast. How are you celebrating, of course, as well, Toy Story's 30th anniversary? I don't know what I'm going to do, like, on the day, actually, or, like, on the 22nd. I don't know. But yeah, I thought I'd do this. So, well, I meant to do this earlier than this, but kept running out of time. But anyway, yeah, let me know how you're celebrating Toy Story's 30th anniversary and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, word of mouth, social media, all that stuff. I've already done all that. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, Outreach podcast and review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk for all of your TV and film news throughout the week. So get all that stuff and the TV and film news posts on geektown.co.uk, and you can find us on YouTube as well for some bits and pieces over there. Entertainment Talk Plays. Thank you very much for listening. Very grateful for this film, these characters, what they mean to me. And until next time, to infinity and beyond.